Got your Bibles there at 1 Kings chapter number 18. I'd like for you to look again with me at verse number 38. The Bible says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Verse number 39 again. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" We arrive here on the scene in chapter number 18 here of 1 Kings of a dire situation in the nation of Israel. We find that there was a lot of problems going on. It was a very, very dark time. We find that it was ruled by a wicked king, King Ahab. He was somebody that was disobedient to the clear commands of God. He was somebody that went the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. And then we find Jezebel, somebody who has cut off all the prophets. We find that in 1 Kings chapter number 18, there is a dire situation. Yet in the situation we find in 1 Kings, God is still working. There's a lot of parallels that can be drawn from this chapter and the world in which we live in today. We find ourselves here in this chapter, there is a physical famine going on. For the space of 3 years, there hasn't been any rain. People are in a lot of trouble physically. There's no food about for anybody to have. And they are in a dire situation. And the king's wicked, and there's a physical famine. There's also a spiritual famine. As we look around, we find again that Jezebel cut off all the prophets. People are on the run. And I liken it to a lot of the situation that we find our world in today. Physical famine, absolutely yes, with everything that's been going on. People have been losing their jobs. People don't know what to do with the financial situation. There's so many things going on. What are we to do during these times? And yet there's a spiritual famine in our country and in this world. There's people out there that they say that what we do, which is the biblical thing, is the wrong thing. They say that which is good is bad and evil, and that which is evil is good. People are trying to put all of their stock and satisfaction in relationships. They try to put all their stock in relationships and money and fame and celebrity and all these different types of things. What are we to do in a time like this? The same thing that Elijah did in a time like he found himself in. We're supposed to seek the Lord. I know that might sound a little bit basic, that might sound a little bit elementary, but that is the thing that our country needs as God's people, to seek the Lord. What our country needs is not another program. It sure doesn't need another politician. What our country needs is revival. What our world needs is revival. And we find in this time in 1 Kings chapter number 18 that the fire of the Lord fell. In the darkest times, God wasn't on sabbatical. He wasn't putting in to go on vacation. He wasn't throwing in the towel. He wasn't looking to get away and chill out for a little while. We find in the midst of the darkest situation in Israel's history that God was still working behind the scenes. And the same God that is working in 1 Kings chapter number 18 is working here in 2020. The same God that spoke the world into existence in Genesis chapter number 1 is the same God that's working here in 2020. The same God that called Abraham out to go into a land that he didn't know much about is the same God that's working here today. The same God that helped Moses split the waters and take the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them through the wilderness for 40 years. That's the same God that we have. That's the same God that you and I have to seek. And let me remind you again, He's not dead, He's not tired, He's not weak. He is still working behind the scenes. You may not be able to see His hand, but you can trust His heart. In our country, does it need complainers? Our country needs the fire of the Lord, revival. So for the next few moments tonight, I want to preach on that very subject, when the fire of the Lord falls. Let's pray together, may we. Father, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for salvation, as we sang about tonight, a new name written down in glory. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Father, I pray tonight that you take me as your vessel, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of myself, that I might speak with thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd be with those who are not able to be here tonight. Speak to them. Those out in the parking lot listening through the radio, speak to them and speak to our hearts here today. Lord, may we seek you in this time, in this unique time that we have in our country's history. Lord, we pray for the world around us, that people would come to Christ, that Christians that are backslidden would get right with you again, that those who are discouraged would get encouraged, for those who are hurting would find healing through the precious word of God. Father, we pray that you'd work tonight in a miraculous way. And Lord, we pray for the fire of heaven, Lord, revival through our country. And Lord, may it start right here tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll have to pray for me tonight. I've been instructed by the sound booth that I can't move. Oh, man. That's going to be hard. I'm going to have to stay behind the pulpit so I can't race around and do all that kind of thing. So you have to pray for me that I don't, you know, I have to stay here. What's that, Jeff? I have to turn it on. I thought it was on. Testing. Yes? No? Excuse me. I'm just going to be at the pulpit today. Thanks, Jeff, for nothing. No, I'm just... Our country needs revival. It's not something that can be manufactured. It's not something that we can plan for, but it's something indeed that we can get ready for and pray for. We find here that the fire came down, and there's a couple of applications I want to give you tonight. Some things that I want you to think about as we consider when the fire of the Lord fell in Elijah's case. And some things I think will be a help to you tonight. So number one, if you're writing things down, I want you to consider this. When the fire of the Lord falls, we find, first of all, that the position we hold is settled. The position that we hold is settled. If you look, please, at our text at verse number 21. The Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word." How long halt ye between two opinions? I feel like in our Christian lives, sometimes we bounce back and forth. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to live God for God? Or are we going to do our own thing? There's a lot of people that have a foot in the church, and there's a lot of people that have a foot in the world at the same time. Well, I want you to know tonight, it doesn't quite work that way. I challenge you that if you're going to serve God, if you're going to live for God, if you're going to be the Christian that God wants you to be, you should go all in. You should jump in. You should get all in. Don't just go halfway. Don't just go three quarters of the way. Go all in serving God. The issue that Elijah was dealing with is people going back and forth between two opinions. If Baal be God, then serve him. But if God be God, serve him. And they'd spend some time and they'd serve Baal and they'd live for Baal. And then they'd get, oh, maybe God's really God and let's jump back and serve him a little bit. And the Bible gives this idea of halting between two opinions. They kept going back and forth. And we find in the nation of Israel, that is something that they did a lot. Even through the book of Judges, we find that they started to serve the Lord, and then they got away from God, and they went into captivity, serving the other gods and doing their own thing. And how much time did they waste in the book of Judges? And how much time do we waste in our Christian lives when we do our own thing? It's interesting to me through the nation of Israel, the history that they have, that when they did their own thing, when they went away from serving the true God, it says that they went into captivity for 4 years. Then they came back, and then they did their own thing, and they went into captivity for 8 years. They went into captivity for 40 years, 20 years, whatever the case might be. But notice the waste of time that they did doing their own thing. Don't forget, be reminded today that you only have one life to live. For Christ. We don't have all the time in the world to do our own thing. We don't have all the time in the world to do it our way. We ought to live our life doing it God's way. But these Israelites, they were halting. They were jumping back and forth between two opinions. They were doing their own thing, not serving God. And Elijah says, hey, listen to me. Don't be indecisive in this matter. If God is God, then go all in to serve him. Be all in for God. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be somebody who's jumping back and forth. We find that their position was not settled, but we find in Elijah's case that the position he held was settled. And we look in verse number 38 that the fire of the Lord fell. Is your mind made up? Sometimes Christian people live by their feelings. Well, I feel good today, so I'm going to serve God today. Listen, the Bible doesn't change. We ought to go according to the principles of God's word. How long halt ye between two opinions? There's a second thing here tonight. When the fire of the Lord falls, we find that the position we hold is settled. But secondly, the only prospect for help was the supernatural. The only prospect for help was the supernatural. Look, please, at verse number 33 of our text. The Bible says, And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran down about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, be it known unto you this day that thou art God of the God of Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Here's what's going on in the text here. He tells the people, hey, listen, we're going to have this evening sacrifice. And he brings all the people there. And just in case I have to fill you in on what's going on, he says, let's have this test. The God that answers by fire, let him be the God. And you can get all your prophets of Baal and gather up. And you can pray unto him. And you can sacrifice unto him. And you can call unto Baal. And let's see if he's going to call back. And if he answers by fire, well, let him be God. But then I'm going to put my thing up there, my sacrifice, and I'm going to pour barrels of water all over it, and I'm going to call upon my God, and the God that answers by fire, let him be the one that we call God. And so now it came time for that evening sacrifice. They're going to see what's going on. Of course, we know what happens in the story here, and that the prophets of Baal, they get there, and they're calling upon Baal, and they're calling upon the, oh, Baal, answer us, and we find that Baal did not answer. And Elijah, Baptist preacher Elijah, starts to mock a little bit. Hey, maybe he has to turn his hearing aid up a little bit. Maybe he didn't hear you. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. Hey, maybe he went on a trip. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he didn't hear the alarm clock when it came on in the morning. And he's mocking everything that's going on. But of course, Baal does not answer because he is not the one true God. And listen to me tonight. There's people in this country and people in this world. They're calling unto things that are never going to satisfy. They're asking and reaching for things that are never going to satisfy their hearts, because those things cannot satisfy like God can satisfy. Baal didn't answer, and ungodly relationships, they won't answer and satisfy like God can satisfy. And fame and fortune is not going to satisfy like God can satisfy. And they called unto Baal and he didn't answer. But Elijah says, it's my turn. Get the barrels of water, dump it on the sacrifice, do it again and do it again. 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. You know what? This wasn't an accident that the fire of the Lord fell. Didn't somebody trip and, you know, they threw their cigarette on some gas and boom, boom, it lit up and the fire of the Lord fell. This was something that was supernatural. And I want you to be reminded tonight that our country and our world needs the supernatural working of the Spirit of God. It's not another program that can do the difference. It's not another politician that can help the world like God can help this world. Our only prospect for help is the Spirit of God, God Himself. We find that Elijah, he prays a prayer of 63 words. It's interesting to me. He gets to praying. He's not cutting himself like the prophets of Baal. He's not dancing around and doing all these foolish things. He simply utters a prayer of 63 words. And God came through. I submit tonight that as a church, as a Christian, we need to get back to praying and seeking God's face, not just organizing and planning and doing different things. All those things are good. It's good to organize. It's good to plan. It's good to do all those things. But we need to be a people that is seeking God and praying and asking God to work. All you look back through history, all the great revivals that have happened all through history started with a small prayer meeting. Oh, when we get a burden to pray again, when we get a burden to see God work in this church, for God to work in this town, for God to work in our state, in our country, in our world. Listen, God's not dead. He's not on vacation. He's not tired. He's not sleeping. God is alive to hear and answer prayer. Our only hope for help is that of the supernatural, the Spirit of God to work in our time. And notice the prayer of Elijah in verse number 36, if you would, please. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Verse number 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You know what I find in this prayer of Elijah? I find humility in this prayer. We find that Elijah calls himself the servant of God. Listen, I ain't nothing. That's good southern vernacular. I ain't nothing. He says, listen, I'm just a servant. I'm not some mighty prophet. I'm not somebody who's a big wig. I'm not anybody like that. I'm just a servant. Oh, would to God that we get back to seeking God and seeking His help, seeking His Spirit, and that we would humble ourselves and seek His face. Humility. We find that we see God's authority. Look again at verse number 36. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and of Israel. You know what? Elijah knew where he stood with God. He was his servant and he knew who God was. We have here that we can't halt between two opinions. First of all, that the position that we hold is settled. We find, second of all, the prospect for help was supernatural. Number three, tonight we find the perspective we have of God is straight. The perspective we have of God is straight. You say, what do you mean? I feel like a lot of the world and people and even ourselves sometimes, we don't look at God as who He is. You say, what do you mean? I look at celebrities out there or athletes, and they'll say, the big man upstairs. And every time I hear that, I cringe. The big man upstairs, he's not a big man upstairs. He's not a butler to bring you a drink when you're thirsty. This is the Creator God. He's a holy God. If you look again at verse number 36, towards the latter part of the verse, it says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. I have done all these things at thy word. Listen, no wonder the fire of the Lord fell. Elijah knew where he stood with God. He wasn't going back and forth. His position was settled. He was going to serve God when it was easy. He was going to serve God when it was hard. He was going to serve God with his life. The position he held was settled. His only prospect for help was the supernatural. Couldn't nobody do it, but God could. And Elijah was seeking God, but then we realized that his perspective of God was straight. Oh, Lord, help us to see God as He is. He's a great God. He's a Creator God. He's a holy God, and we're sinners saved by grace. No wonder the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter number 6, he saw the Lord also sitting high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And we find that the angels, they cried, holy, holy, holy. Listen, that's the God that we have. And yes, the Bible talks about how our God, He is a friend to us. He's somebody that is our Father, the Bible calls us. But don't forget that God is holy, and we need to have the right perspective of the God that we have. We have to see Him. A little bit of perspective can go a long way. No wonder this was in Isaiah when he saw God sitting on his throne. This was a prophet of God, somebody that has a book of the Bible that is named after him. And we find here that Isaiah, he was put down on his face because he saw who God was. Oh, if we could get a look at God and see Him as He is, it'll change our perspective. If you get a glimpse of God, you'll never be the same. Perspective he had was straight. The position he held was settled. This prospect for help was the supernatural. Fourthly, tonight, we find that the practices he had were sincere. Look, please, again at verse number 36. The latter part says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I have done all these things at thy word. We look here and we find that Elijah, his position was settled. His prospect for help was the supernatural. We find that his perspective of God was straight. But then we get a look into the motives that Elijah had. Elijah did it for no other reason than to let other people know that there was a God. He wanted people to know his God. Why is it that we do what we do? Why is it that we get up and maybe sing a song at church? Why do we give in the offering play or in the thing in the back there? Why do we do what we do as Christians? Is it to get a pat on the back? Good giggly wiggly, look at me, I did something good. So that Brother Andy can notice me. Thumbs up, Andy. B&B show, tune in at 7 o'clock Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. But why do you do what you do? Why serve on a bus ministry? Why go soul winning? Why serve in the church? What is the motive? Elijah's motive, he said, again at verse number 36, I have done all these things at thy word. You know what the motive was? I want to please him. I don't want to oversimplify the Christian life. But when we serve God and when we do things for the church and do the work of the church, the question should be, is what I'm doing pleasing God? Does this please God or does this not please God? And if you have to answer that no, then it's probably a good thing not to do. What is your motive? The practices he had were sincere. He wasn't looking for glory for himself. He wasn't looking for people to, oh, look at Elijah. He's the man, and he's calling fire down from heaven. Man, Elijah, he's awesome. No, I just wanted to please God, and I just wanted to know other, I wanted all the people to know the great God that I have. And by the way, this might be a little bit of a rabbit trail, but if you have somebody that you're praying for to be saved, you have a lost family member or a friend, don't just witness to them just so they can miss out on hell. That's a great reason to get saved, but witness to them so they can know the great God that you have. So they can see how great God is. And that is where we get a glimpse into the motive that Elijah had. He wanted people to know that there's a true God. He's not playing games. He's the one true and living God. He's the one that you should give your life to. He's the one that you should serve with all your life, submit all your will to. This is the God that we have. And he wanted those people to know the God that he knew. His position was settled. His perspective was straight. His prospect for help was the supernatural. His practices were sincere. No wonder the fire came down from heaven. Look at verse number 38. The Bible says, "The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." We come to this last. Fifthly tonight, the praise that was his was surrendered. Look, please, at verse number 39. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" Elijah, what's going on in your life? He's living in a country that needs God to work in a huge way, in a supernatural way. And the prophets are being slain, and there's famine in the land. What's going on? People are going away from what thus saith the Lord. And they needed something supernatural to happen. Listen, our country needs a revival fires. We need people to give again their lives and rededicate themselves to the Lord. The fire of the Lord fell. Position was settled. Prospect for help was the supernatural. The perspective he had of God was straight. The practices he had were sincere. The praise that was God's was surrendered. We have a God that is worthy. Amen. I was thinking about it on the drive down tonight, and that how God is so worthy of everything. He gave his all for us. It's the logical thing to give our all for him. The praise that was his is surrendered. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, and instead of saying how bad everything is in this world, oh, so many things have happened, and oh, 2020, woe is me, and oh, what's going to happen next? What chapter of Revelation am I going to wake up to tomorrow, and stuff like that? But you can decide that the Word of God is true, and that yes, though there might be things in the world right now that are not good, God is always good. We have a God who is righteous. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have a God who provides. He's taking care of our every need. We have a God that has given us his word, just in case you forgot about it. We have a God that's given us a church that we can go to, with a pastor that preaches the word of God, that prays for you, with people that love you in this building. We have a church that we get to go to. We have a country to where we have the freedoms to pray and the freedom to come to church by and large. And this is the God that has afforded us all those things. Don't forget about the God that you have. He's not a part of your big picture. He is the big picture. Praise that was his was surrendered. The fire of the Lord fell. What an amazing thing that must have been to see the fire of the Lord fall in that instance. You know, everybody took notice about the fire. My wife and I, we came from Clayton, North Carolina, and they have that vinegar barbecue stuff. I just never got used to that. But the church we came from was Mount Calvary Baptist Church. And just a little over 11 years ago, somebody had broke into the building. They got into the church sanctuary and they lit the pulpit on fire and ended up burning that whole auditorium, that church building, to the ground. And it's a sad thing, but they were able to rebuild, thank the Lord. And when my wife and I went on staff there just a couple years ago, it was interesting going on when you went out to knock doors. "Hello, my name's Kevin. I'm from Mount Calvary Baptist Church." And you know what? A lot of times I would hear this. "Isn't that that church that was on fire?" Yes, that was the church that was on fire. But time and time again, as we would go door knocking, "That church that was on fire." That church on the hill, you mean? The one that was on fire, the one that was burning? Yeah, that's the church. That's the church that I'm working at. Hey, would you like to come to that church? Would you like to be a part of our service? Would you like to come hear the Bible preaching? Would you like to know about the God we preach about? That church that was on fire, and that echoes in my mind. You're from that church that was on fire, aren't you? Would to God that people would say that. Not physically, obviously, but spiritually. You're from that church that is on fire for the Lord. Sometimes I read the Google reviews of churches. And I'll read through them. And sometimes, and I think this is actually a good thing from my perspective, you'll see somebody that doesn't rate the church well. Because that they keep knocking on my door and invite me to church. And I tell them I don't want to hear anything about that. And they just keep coming. I like that. Let's keep winning people. Let's keep reaching people. The church that is on fire. Oh, what could God do if our position of Him, our position was settled? What could God do if our prospect for help was only Him and Him alone? What could God do if our perspective of Him was straight? What could God do if our practices were sincere and the praise was that is His is surrendered? Oh, would to God that the fire of God would fall. And that we would see the hand of God do something amazing in our midst. Christians getting right. People getting saved. Oh, what God could do. God's not dead. You know something? I hope that doesn't get old. I hope that doesn't get old hat. You know, we serve a risen Savior, and sometimes we just kind of sing it, or sometimes we just kind of go through the motions. But think about the words that you get to sing, and think about the Bible that you have that talks about that God's not dead, that He's alive forevermore, that His Spirit is living in you if you're a born-again Christian, and that God desires to use you, and God desires to work in your life, and God desires to make Himself known in this world, and He wants you to be that vessel to do that. God can do it, but we've got to be submitted again. Maybe you're here tonight, and perhaps that you've gotten away from the Lord. Tonight is a good night to get right again with God. As sure as you can take steps out of the will of the Lord, it only takes one step to get back in the will of the Lord. Would to God the fire of God falls again. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. I pray that something that was said here tonight would be a blessing. Lord, we pray that You'd help us. Lord, the vessel is weak, but Your Word is strong. And I pray that Your Word would make the difference tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.